Pastor Buddy, welcome in here tonight with us to the show, live and direct on WWCR 5070. We're glad to have you aboard. Get you a thinking cap on tonight. Buckle on your spiritual seatbelt and let's go for a ride and an adventure through the scriptures as we're going to cover what we believe to be a very interesting subject tonight as we continue on part two of our search for the hidden people. It's perhaps one of the greatest enigmas in history. It is actually the strangest story of history written in terms of simple human language. For over 2,520 years, Yahweh has had a people in the world living under an alias. Now, why? It is only now in these days that we live in Revelation that the restoration of those prophetic 2,520 years are coming to an end. Now, when that happens, the Bible says that he will turn his face back to a people that has forgotten his name for Baal. Isn't it wonderful that our Savior, our Creator, keeps his promises that he promised in the prophetic scriptures? Through the book of Isaiah, the book of Jeremiah, that there would be a exodus of his people from the land for their disobedience. And in a strange sense, this disobedience was almost pre-programmed into the people that were disobedient. Now, you say, well, Pastor, but that's strange. Well, let me give you a little bit of information concerning just what I said. Now, the Bible said blindness in part has happened to Israel. Now, how did that happen? It happened through the divine covenant of our Creator. It had to be this way, folks. It was designed, written in the heavens, actually predestined to happen, that the Father, through the blindness of a people, could actually scatter these people and make them a people as the sands of the sea and the stars of the sky. It's incredible. Let me give you our text source tonight again in 2 Samuel chapter 7. Call a friend. Tell them that the Shepherd's Call is on the air tonight. We'd be glad to accept that listener on board with us tonight. We appreciate all of our contact support. And so take our name and address, and we'll give to you just a little bit later in the program. And we'll bring these revelations to you week by week, sponsored by Dr. Gary and Dr. Jack. And these are the men that love the Creator good enough and they care enough to spend their money to give you information. And I would like to take the whole hour to express to you the reason for this message. And that is that you perhaps could be possibly one of the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And I certainly hope so. Have you ever wondered since 721 B.C., when the great Exodus began in 721 B.C., that's long before our time. We don't have any recall to that date. History points in that direction, but it's very obscure. You have to search and really be determined to find out the rest of the story to go back and make an attempt to search out the mystery. Now, the Bible said to strive to enter into the straight gate. Ladies and gentlemen, if you don't expend some energy, if you don't give yourself wholly to the Father, if you don't seek Him with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, if you don't really get concerned about who you are, the chances are you'll never really know. And no wonder the wicked wander seeking peace and finding none. No wonder blind Israel is like Samson, blind Samson lost his ability to see because of his participation with strange women. Now, this is actually a story of someone committing spiritual adultery. And so, Samson represents the whole house of Israel as a whole. That she began to fornicate not only in her physical, but in her mental as well. She began to serve other gods. She began to break the holy Sabbaths that were designed and given to, for, and about a people called my people. Now, moreover, I will appoint my people a place, Israel. I will plant them. This is 2 Samuel, again, chapter 7, verse 10, that they may dwell in a place of their own. And the wickedness of the children shall afflict them no more as before time. What's that mean? It means that this people would be a furious, independent, free, wandering, blind, progressive people without their identity. Have you ever wondered where the whole 12 tribes of Israel wandered to? You know, most people believe that the Jews, singular, one tribe, and this is, folks, I get so frustrated in trying to explain that the Jews are not God's chosen people. That's a misnomer. We shouldn't even say that. Nobody should get offended when they hear it, although many take it as anti-Semitic when I say that the Jews are not God's chosen people. Because there is a people that has now inherited Palestine that give themselves out as God's holy Jews, the holy people, when in reality the Zionists and their cause, and in reality, they are not true, blue Jews at all. 90, perhaps 95%, and I would be safe in making this estimation, of the people that are in the land of what is known since 1948 as the Restoration House of Israel, mandated by the British mandate in May of 48. And then these people begin to gather back. Jews from all over the world begin to gather, mostly from Eastern Europe and other areas of Europe where they came from. Many came from America. A lot came from Russia, Poland, and Czechoslovakia, and on down through the Eastern Bloc countries. Matter of fact, many came because they were given passage, they were given support, And there was a great sum of money contributed by the United Nations with the United States and Great Britain and Germany making war reparations, and Australia, some of the Caucasian peoples that were sympathetic for the Jews going back to their homeland. Now remember, the true House of Israel, the 12 tribes, actually it's 13, but we'll call it 12 for the sake of government unification here, and I'll explain later on why that there's 13 instead of 12, and that 10 are absence without identity. So then, when you hear people say, well, the Jews are God's chosen people, that is not necessarily true. Because it's Israel that is God's holy people. Now, let's look at the landmarks, the marks of identity, as we go across the history of time, especially for the last 2,500 years, when it was prophetically uttered that this timeline would pass over the house of Israel until blindness would be removed from the house of Israel. Now, a very interesting scripture that we gave you last week, and that is in Romans chapter 11, verse 25 and 26. I believe that these two verses of scripture and the passages that I'm going to quote to you is perhaps the beginning of the reemergence of the knowledge of restoration to the lost children, or the lost sheep, as the Messiah referred to them in the 10th chapter of the book of Matthew, and the 15th chapter of the book of Matthew, again, to confirm that there is a lost sheep, even at the time of Christ. He referred to Israel. Now, the 10 tribes that were expelled in 721 B.C., remember he said in 2 Samuel 7, verse 10, I will appoint a place for my people. Now, these people would have a characteristic identities that would not be mistaken if we uncover or if we sift through the history of facts. If we look at the obscure history and go and do our homework, and I said you must strive to enter in. You must search for him with all your heart. Now, there is a scripture that indicates that his people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge. Now, he also made a very frightening continuous in that scripture, Hosea 4 and 6. Listen to what he said here. He says, therefore, since they reject knowledge, I will reject them. See, it's a conditional thing even today. That scripture holds true even today. Now, why would it? Because the time has come, the Bible said the time will come that men, now we're talking about Israel here, it's a book to, for, and about the house of Israel. So when it says nations, it's talking about Israel. It's not talking about all of the nations that's listed upon the earth as the present day that are, like, say, members of the United Nations that have representatives as nations. It's not talking about that. It's talking about the 12 nations, folks. Two, four, and about only one people, one blood offspring. And there is a scripture that is written in the book of Deuteronomy that tells us exactly what the Father had in mind, even back in the book of Deuteronomy, when there was a covenant for the people of God. Listen to me now, as I read in the 7th chapter of the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 7 and verse 6, for thou art a holy people. Now, my question again to you, and I want to provoke you to think, and I ask you to put your thinking cap on at the beginning of the message. And you've got to really get after this, folks. You've got to seek, and you've got to search, and you've got to pray for the Father to send prophets and teachers and instructors back to the house of Israel, the lost sheep. Now, it's true, and I believe this, and I will confirm it through the Word, there has always, with no exceptions, been a remnant that has their identity in knowledge. Now, why? Because the Father swore to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and he confirmed it through covenant oaths, that he would always have a people before him named Israel. Now, Israel is not in Palestine. Oh, yes, we've got a nation over there called Israel, but, you know, any nation could adopt the name of Israel. It just so happens that it really fit like a hand in a glove with some of the sly and cunning deception of Satan. See, Satan, the Bible said, even Satan shall deceive the very elect. Did you know that 90% of the Caucasian race who are descended from the exit of the 10 tribes abroad, and I'll prove that to you just in a moment. If, as a matter of fact, if you come in as an immigrant into the United States and they ask you, or if you apply through any documentation to the government and they need to know who you are, they ask a question. What is your race? And, of course, that depends on your bloodline. Well, if you are white, that would classify you as a Caucasian. Now, it's not to say that there's not other races, because they are. The Father, when he designed the races in the original state, now this is very important, hear me well. The original state of the races belong on the earth. There's nothing wrong with them. Every race that he put here is put here for a specific purpose for the involvement of the plan of the Almighty God. I will repeat that. God's purposes were declared from the foundation of the world. Everything that you see here, taste, feel, and touch was designed through predetermined determination. Now, the Father himself made a terrible commitment to that determination. He did that with offering his own self. Now, the Bible said he was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as would receive him, he would give them power to become, to become, to become. It's a process. The sons of Yah. Now, Yah's looking too far in a people, and it's confirmed here in the 7th chapter of Deuteronomy, in the 6th verse. For thou art a holy people. Now, does that mean that there is a people that will walk around with long white robes and Christ-like features that we have been given through the artist? Actually, they've set us an example of what Christ looked like, or what they believe he looked like. Nobody really knows, except if you read the Word, it'll tell you. We know he had a beard, and we know that they plucked that out on the night before his crucifixion. We know that they would reach up and they hated this man. Now listen, folks, this is astounding. They hated this man that came through the house of Israel, that came through the identical bloodline as did Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He came through the very bloodline of Adam, who was the son of Yahweh. He was a direct descendant of Yahweh. Born of a woman, true, but created through the Spirit. The Bible said God is a spirit. God created himself a flesh body through a chosen genetic predetermined people. Isn't it marvelous? Isn't it wonderful? And then you say, well, why, buddy, did God go to the extent or the trouble of, first of all, choosing, keeping and correcting the people up until 721 B.C., and then in his anger and his wrath, expel them out of his presence, out of the land that he covenanted with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and swore unto them that they would have this covenant that is mentioned in the 12th chapter of Genesis, that they should inherit everything that Abraham's eyes was to look upon. Well, that was Abraham's possession. He fulfilled that in Abraham. But the Bible says the blessing is not to Abraham. It is to his seed. And therein lies a continuation that God Almighty could extend his covenant contract by driving these blind people, these ignorant, erring people, the Israelites, the descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He drove them out of this area of eastern Palestine, of the Middle East, and drove them through the Caucasus Mountains, through this Assyrian captivity, when Sargon came down and actually captured all of the 10 tribes of the northern house and expelled them, took them as the tribute makers, if you will, as he did their fathers, as the father took Israel down to Egypt. It's a symbol. You see, we have wandered many years to fulfill the prophetic history timeline that God Almighty has predetermined right to the very day, hour, and second. Although we don't know, God gave us distinctive signs to look for. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I'm sad to say, or I'm happy to say tonight, in this sense that I'm teaching, that all these prophetic signs are now emerging in full-blown array, that we can look into the signs and see the end, or the really the beginning. It's the end of an age, but a beginning of a new age. And this is very exciting, that God's promise is not to those people back there in Abraham. Remember, his promise was not to Abraham, but in his seed will the promise be fulfilled. So then it was the offspring of the covenant people that God selected very carefully. And then the Bible says, and only God knows this, God knows them that are his. Oh, it's wonderful that God has genetically counted every hair upon every head and numbered the house of Israel and kept a detailed account on exactly how many, where, and who it is, as he numbered and counted every child of Israel in the days of Elijah, when every knee that had bowed the Baal was numbered against Yahweh, and every knee that hadn't bowed was known and numbered for him. Now, does God Almighty, in this dark age, in these times when it doesn't seem like that God's going to do anything, good or bad, that times go on, Babylon thrives and prospers, the wicked thrive and prosper, nobody cares. More people are converting to Christianity, with a population of 6 billion people upon the earth. Out of that 6 billion people, 2 billion approximately, or more, claim a birth of Christ. They're taught that you can be born again. Now, you say, well, Pastor Buddy, isn't it true that you've got to be born again? Isn't that what God told Nicodemus in the Bible in John chapter 3 and verse 4 and 5? No, it's not. It's mistranslated from the Greek original. Actually, I don't think the Greek's the original, but the Greek had a better understanding because I think they copied it a little bit more tediously. At that time, there was not as much deception or intent to deceive, but now, through deception, through translation, through losing the quality of words, and words are very powerful, just like genetics. God knows if genetics have been altered. Now, I told you about the original four races in Genesis chapter 3. There were four rivers. This river was people. People represented rivers. There was four root races in Genesis chapter 3. These four root races were the very ones that God originated to bless this earth. Now, I'm sad to say that some of these bloodlines specifically are made to be taken and destroyed. When God's purposes are served, you say, oh my God, Pastor Buddy, God, that's unthinkable. God loves everybody. It's not a question whether God loves everybody. It's a question of whether everybody loves God. You see, you've got to prove yourself. God's already proved himself. And I'll give you a flaming example of thought to burn in your heart. Let this burn and render into your heart. And let it produce an offshoot of thought that would get you an understanding. The Bible says that God hated Esau before he was ever born. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I am not God. I am not the creator. I don't know why, although I think I do. I won't share it with you at this moment in detail. I may comment briefly on this to give you some indication of why that God hated Esau. There is reason, because it was displayed in the mannerisms and the fruit or the doings of Esau after the fact. Now, but God hated him before the fact. He hated him before he'd ever done any good or any evil. So then, there are peoples on the earth that are existing primarily for the purpose of God. Not because God hates them or God loves them. It's not based on whether God loves you or God hates you. It's based on his conditional covenant contract. Unconditional in the sense that he made it to a people, to for and about. For God hath chosen thee to be a special people unto himself above all people that are upon the face of the earth. Now, isn't that amazing? That God chose a people. Now, these are the same people called Caucasian, and we know that because Israel was expelled, and they crossed the Caucasus. Therefore, they were called Caucasians, and wherever they showed up as Aryan, and they showed up with a purpose. And in most cases, they showed up in strength and numbers, and they multiplied. They become the mightiest people upon the earth. Ladies and gentlemen, this is amazing at the prophetic utterance of God Almighty. And yet, here's the most astounding thing to me at this moment, is why people that was blessed, chosen, and sanctified to be a special people, and yet out of that, only one-third would come through the refining process of finally making it into the kingdom. Now, Zechariah saw that in the Bible. In the book of Zechariah, Zechariah saw exactly what Pastor Buddy is referring to in the Scriptures. Now, I gave you an illustration of that in Hosea 4 and 6. Now, remember, I quoted it for you. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject you. Thou shalt be no priest to me, seeing that thou hast forgotten the law of thy God, I will also forget your children. Now, since they rejected him, you see, he was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. Quoted, but if you go back to the original Greek, that scripture, in that particular chapter or verse, where they identified verses, remember, they were taking letters, and they've applied them into certain places in the Bible. Your own translators have done this, and that is not in the original. It's just like Luke chapter 23, verse 34. Again, I'm going to give an astounding revelation. For some of it is not heard. You might have heard me talk about this very particular verse in last week's message in part one of the Hidden Lost People. That the Bible in the original Greek says, Father, forgive them. In the English translation and other translations as well, it also says, Father, forgive them, for they know what they do. They know not what they do. It's what the translators say. But in the original Greek, it doesn't read that way. You see, the not is placed properly where it should have been to start with. But the translators, taking John 3:16 as an example of conditional process as they translated the scriptures, and their preconceived conditional process of mind, they took it that God loved everybody. Well, God didn't love Esau. That's an exception. If he makes one exception, could he make two? Well, yes, we can give you other illustrations where he destroyed many nations and many people because of their sins. For instance, I'll give you an example again here in Deuteronomy chapter 7, and it states again in verse 3. It says, neither shall thou make marriages with these people that I have driven out before you, the Canaanites. Oh my, here is where the tares, and ladies and gentlemen, I'm sorry to say, a tare is just not a sinner. You see, only Israel can be a sinner. A sinner is someone that's given a set of laws and don't obey them. You see, the Canaanites were never given a law. There's no law written to them. Therefore, they cannot be sinners. They were born in sin. Israel is born with a covenant, as John 3 and 3 says, where were you talking about the scripture where it said that you've got to be born again? It says, the original Greek said, you've got to be born from above. Now, there is... You say, well, what's the difference between the word above and again? You see, when it says again, that means that, well, you've been born once, but you've got to be born again. Well, that's not true. If you are born as was Isaac, now here's the sweet beauty of it. Isaac didn't have to get born again. He was born righteous. He was a righteous tree from the time he came out of his mother's womb. He was a covenant chosen person, just as his offspring here, Jacob, was a chosen coveted person because he received the birthright. And yes, there had to be some deception to get that birthright because the war in the womb. Now, here's the mystery I want to expound a little bit. I told you, I promised you I would. Just a brief comment of why that Esau was rejected. Now, Rebecca, remember, she was pregnant with twins. Now, I'm going to inject a seed here, a thought for you, to let you think about this. They were fraternal twins. They had two different fathers. You say, oh, Pastor Buddy, I wouldn't accept that. The Bible said that Isaac knew Rebecca, and she conceived, and she brought forth Esau and Jacob. That's true. That's exactly what it said. It doesn't include maybe the rest of the story here. Now, the Bible said, the things that are written for your learning. But the things that should have been written, Even the world itself could not contain the information revelation that's available to, for, and about the house of Israel if God's people will humble themselves that are called by his name. See, we have to have a relationship by genetic birth from our blood offspring, for God is looking for the descendants of Isaac, and Isaac only. There can't be any tares sowed in the bloodline of Isaac that will inherit in God's kingdom. You understand, when we go back to the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and read the dramatic story about the passion or the crucifixion or the leading up to the arrest and the conviction of Christ as a sinner, judged by a Sanhedrin court that was heavily filled with Canaanites. I better repeat that. Now, enter the tares. When Christ went down to the temple to see what was going on in the temple that Herod built, not the one he built, now remember, not the one he authorized. Let me repeat this. Not the one that Yahweh covenanted with his people to build. This temple was built by Herod, and it took 42 years, approximately, for this temple to be built. Now, Christ took a cord and chased all of these folks out of the temple, and the question was, who was running the temple? It was the Pharisees of the day. Now, who were the Pharisees? Well, it's amazing. Glory to God. If we go back to the book of the Corinthians, or Chronicles, let's go to the book of Chronicles, and let's take a look at the word that we're going to explore here. This is going to really give you a blessing. If you're a Bible student, if you're a searcher of the deep mysteries, if you're hungry and you want the meat, and this is, see, the shepherd's call is all about meat. To, for, and about a people that is trying to reclaim their lost identity, to come out of her, my people. You must be brave, you must be bold and daring to dare to change and leave the herd of the many and come to the small flock of the few. Well, that's what I'm asking you to do. Look at 1 Chronicles chapter 2, verse 55. These are the families of the scribes which dwelt at Jabal, the Tyrites, the Shenitites, the Shenitites. Now, who are they? Well, if you go back to the 47th chapter of the book of Genesis and read the 12th verse, you'll find out who the Shenitites were, the 10th and the 12th in particular. Look at, place your emphasis upon verse 12 of 46 Genesis. Now, let me repeat this. The Shenitites, if you go to the 38th chapter of the book of Genesis, again, as I took you there last week, in the search for the lost sheep of the house of Israel. You better get your thinking cap on. This is deep, and you got to stay with me to keep up with the amount of information that's flowing from my lips. And I want to give it to you as quickly as possible because time is of the utmost urgency. You must move quickly today to grasp. Don't let Satan enter in when the word is sown. Don't let that enemy come in and steal it away with tradition or misunderstanding or confusion. And the Bible said, when you would do good, evil's always present. And I know Satan, and I know his attempts to take away or steal away the word that Pastor Buddy could sow in your heart. I pray for your deliverance. I pray for God to anoint you. I pray for the mighty Creator Yahweh to move into your home and to change your home to become a law-abiding. And I'm not talking about just you quit stealing or you quit doing drugs. That's very important. I'm talking about you coming back to the basic spirituality. You see, God is not looking for a good people. He's looking for a right people. You were born good. The nature of sheep are good. There's nothing evil. There's nothing in a sheep that makes a sheep want to go out and kill somebody. If you're a true blue sheep or a true Caucasian offspring of Isaac, then you must return back to the old path and begin to walk within the framework of God's identity laws that you might obtain the blessing. And as Dr. Judy wrote me a wonderful message this week in her letter, she said, "Buddy, it's time for the children of Israel to return back to God's covenant laws and return back to headship company and remove themselves from the tail end of a caboose and start quit riding the train or be beggars of the ride to be owners and directors and engineers of the ride." That's who we are. We are a people to bless the rest of the people of the earth. Instead of that, we can't even get together and agree on what day to worship on, let alone anything else relating to information highway. Even in our own midst, we have those that sow discord among the brethren. And that's designed for a specific purpose, as when Christ gathered his apostolic brethren around him, he chose 12 of them, and two of them were actually wrong. One was a devil from the very beginning, that was Judah, from the slum bases of Jerusalem in the Canaanite district. He was nothing more, ladies and gentlemen, but a bloodline mixture of the house of Judah and the house of Cain. Remember now, I'm going to give you that word here again when it indicates that these beings that God told us, warned us, instructed us, and we say, well, it doesn't matter, Dave, buddy. God can mix all bloods. You can be bloodline mixed with all kinds of bloods, and if you're saved by Jesus, you're going to heaven. Well, ladies and gentlemen, the deception, the layer on this onion of deception is unreal. I'm appalled at the deceptional level, the depth that Satan would layer the onion of history and translation errors and changing of the text. You say, oh, nobody would dare to change the Bible, Pastor Buddy. Well, then God warned us in Revelation chapter 22 for anybody that would dare to do it, meaning that there was a possibility somebody would, then he would add to them the plague. If anybody take from him, there's a possibility that they would do it. Some of the original text has been deliberately removed to take you out of your identity search. And therefore, you must pray harder. You must read harder. You must search harder. You must listen to the wisdom of the house of Israel teachers that are giving you the revelation message in the last day to return you back to the true and the living God. Well, here it is. I'm going to finish it up in the book of 1 Chronicles, chapter 2, again, verse 55, when I got down to the Shemites. These are the offspring from the illicit reunion, or union, if you will, of Judah and Shelah, the Canaanite mistress that God Almighty had done warned and punished and is still punishing Israel and the house and the offspring and the seed. He's still punishing people for mixing their blood. Oh, if the blacks could get this message tonight. If that original black race that came out of the river garden, that pre-existed perhaps one of the oldest peoples on the earth of the black race. You see, ladies and gentlemen, they were created for a specific reason here upon the planet. God has a distinctive purpose for them under the heaven. Also, the yellow race. There is a primary color here, and so God has a specific reason to have them here upon the planet. And there is a large population of both. The Asiatics outnumbering the blacks are probably to 3 to 1 or maybe more. Because there's 1 billion people in China. There's not that many in Africa, where the original root race of the dark races emerged in in the earth. But the anthropologists will tell you that the black race is perhaps one of the oldest races in the earth. Now, there's nothing wrong with the black race and their originality. It's when that black man takes a white woman or a yellow woman and brings forth an hybrid offspring that he weakens his own genetics for future purposes that God intended for it in the originality. See, when you do this, there is an incredible sin occurs for mixing of the bloods. Ladies and gentlemen, I know this is not a very popular message, but Pastor Buddy has to preach it because I'm anointed and called for the last day to bring back the truth of God's covenant promises to the lost sheep of the house of Israel and give everybody a warning and instruction on how to find or retain or regain their lost identity. Now, here's the purpose. The Shemites, again, Genesis 38, verses 1 through 4, you will find that Judah married the Canaanite woman, which again, I said, was against God's law. What was so terrible about Cain? What was so terrible about Cain's offspring? Christ referred to the offspring of Cain in John 8:44. As a murdering race of people. Now, I told you the sheep nature is genetically proven to be good. He's got no inkling to murder, harm, or destroy anything. He's got a sheep-like genetic nature. It's ways made. He's created in its original form. But you take a snake, a serpent, and this is a characteristical descriptive form that the Bible uses to display the offspring of Satan, and particularly the Canaanites. The Bible said Cain was of the wicked one. The Bible says that Christ himself identified Cain as a murderer from the very beginning. And he also identified that murdering offspring and the father substance as being Satan and Cain offspring. So the Canaanite was prohibited from entering into the house of Israel. These are the tares and discrepant seed that God spoke about in Matthew chapter 13 that will be swept away in the last days. Now, it's coming. Ladies and gentlemen, there is coming a time of trouble that is prophesied in Jeremiah chapter 30, verse 7. Oh, I wish you'd read it. I wish I had time to go into it. I wish I had about 6 hours of nonstop to get really fired up in this message and go into the depth and reasoning and understanding so that I could capture your very imagination and bring it to the altar of our Creator and let you bow there and offer up an acceptable sacrifice as did Abel. But most of the message today are received in part. You see, Satan don't care to give you 90% truth and 10% error. Because he knows that the 10% of the error will corrupt 90% of the truth. A rotten apple will, in other words, spoil the whole barrel. So if you get a discrepant gene into the bloodline of Israel, it will actually destroy that particular bloodline from that point on to whatever offspring comes out. Down to, including the 10th generation. It's amazing how that you could even go into the genetic field. Dr. Kelly is perhaps the most controversial genetic revelator that is on the House of Israel scene today. And he's written a booklet, and I'll send it to you free of charge tonight at Dr. Kelly's request. and compliments of Dr. Kelly. I'll send it to you with the information that if you'd like Pastor Buddy tonight, I'd be glad to send this to you. Now, all you got to do is write Pastor Buddy. I've got to end my message as I continue here. The word Kenite. If you look down at the word Kenite and look up the word Kenite in the Strong's, it's Strong's number 7014. From the root word 7017, and it's Cain's offspring. So the scribes and the Pharisees link both in together that Christ condemned and said, your father's a devil, and the works of your father you'll do. He's a liar and a murderer from the very beginning. You see, a good seed line, a good offspring would not do that. If you wanted more information about this message, my time is gone. I've got to give you my address. Ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Gary and I and Dr. Jack would be so appreciative of you. We need your help. We struggle. Dr. Gary bears the major lion's share of sponsoring my program out of his own pocket. No help from anyone. He does it. He doesn't complain. He sows seed in faith. He's a wonderful man. Dr. Jack and his group contribute to the ministry here at the Shepherd's Call. Others have contributed. We need your help on 5070. We need you desperately to help us. Why? To stay on, to expand. If Dr. Gary and Dr. Jack could get a sizable offering that could relieve some of the pressures of coming up with a monthly bill at WWCR, and this radio time is very expensive. Runs into the thousands of dollars. We need your help. We can't stay here long if you don't help us. We need your help. Come in and help us tonight. Call Pastor Buddy. Let me give you my telephone number. You can call me tonight. I'm here at the studio. I'm live tonight on WWCR 507. Call me at 423-626-2172. That's area code 423-626-2172. Now, if you would like to write me, simply just address your letters quickly to Pastor Buddy. That's all you got to put down, ladies and gentlemen. Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee, 37824. I repeat, Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee, the zip 37824. Now, did you get that? Don't miss it. Very important we hear from. Become a partner and a team player in the search for the lost sheep of the house of Israel. This is Pastor Buddy. We know you're there. We're fishing for you. We're hunting for you. We're calling for you. And today, if you hear his voice through the scriptures, harden not your heart. If you want to be bold, daring, and selective to choose that which is good and shun that which is evil, quit running with the crowd and come to the few, then join the team. We need your help. Now, let me give you Dr. Gary's toll-free number. Call Dr. Gary. I just wish that 100 people would call him in the morning. Call his office hours between 9 and 5. And this is the toll-free number that you can reach Dr. Gary. 1-877-289-7439. I'll tell you what. It's a toll-free number. Call Dr. Gary tomorrow. Tell him you're a pastor buddy. Give him some encouragement. We need your help. Make a commitment to him and say, Doc, I'm with you. If you're shy, if you're bearing the lion's share of the program, I want to help you. And I want to support Pastor Buddy because I believe he's a man of Yahweh and he's bringing the truth. Ladies and gentlemen, if I wasn't speaking the truth tonight, I would be getting many, many letters of encouragement and support from those who are blind. I'm not teaching to those who have a deceptive heart. I'm talking to those who have been deceived through tradition and want a renewed heart to wake up, to find themselves. And if you're lost and wondering, as I was, and others, countless others, including Dr. Gary and Dr. Jack, when they were on their search, they too were like you and me. We were blind at one time, and it's not been so long ago that I actually believed a lot of the traditional things like Christmas, Easter, and eating ham, and things of this nature that we've had. So call Dr. Gary, 1-877-289-7439. Dr. Jack, 1-888-281-7320. Now, call him tomorrow between the business hours of 9 to 5. Tell him Pastor Buddy sent you. Remember, my telephone number again, Pastor Buddy, 423-626-2172. My address is Post Office Box 2284, New Townsville, Tennessee. Pastor Buddy and the Shepherd's Call. See you next Sunday night at 8 o'clock. Yahweh bless you around the lost sheep of the house of Israel.